if a person goes to the mosque 5 times or 3 times, no matter, and he offers 5-time prayers, and there he meets his Muslim brothers and sisters, therefore he will shy from them when he is about to perform obscenity, when he is about to perform some kind of thing which is vice. Therefore, he will stop himself in front of people. We see that in Islam, there are many things that have individual effect and the social effect. Where, for example, the issue of hijab, basically it's an obligation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way it is about the prayers. But obviously, if someone is not observing hijab in the house, but when they come out to the society, they have to do that. Similarly, a man who needs to have the hijab or the veil of his eyes and not to look at namahram, when you have a sound prayers, it has not only effect on your individual life, but as well as it makes an ummah a perfect place, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime, in a blatant and barbaric move, has authorized its military to kill Palestinians with drones in the West Bank. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the first part, please. Truthout website wrote, commanders of the Israeli occupation forces, IOF, have been authorized to use armed drones to kill Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, with the approval of Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Aviv Kohavi. Hamas called the order a dangerous step and urged Palestinians to continue resisting the Israeli occupation with all means possible until they regain their legitimate rights. The authorization to expand the use of killer drones coincides with a significant rise in shooting attacks and massive gunfire during arrest raids, specifically in the northern West Bank cities of Jenin and Nablus, according to the Jerusalem Post. On September 28, the IOF killed 4 Palestinians and injured dozens more during protests in Jenin. Since as early as 2008, the Zionist regime Air Force has been killing Palestinians in Gaza with drones. They have also been used to fire gas bombs and live rounds in occupied Al-Quds. Although drones have been employed for surveillance, this is the first time armed drones will be utilized in the occupied West Bank. Drones comprise 80% of the total flights hour in the Zionist regime Air Force. But the Zionist regime has no right of self-defense against the people whose land it occupies. The Fourth Geneva Convention says that an occupying power has a legal duty to protect the occupied. As an occupying power, the fabricated regime of Israel cannot use military force against the occupied Palestinian people. Under international law, the Palestinians have a lawful right to resist the Zionist regime's occupation of their lands, including through armed struggle. In 1982, the UN General Assembly reaffirmed the legitimacy of the struggle of peoples for independence, territorial integrity, national unity, and liberation from colonial and former and foreign domination and foreign occupation by all available means, including armed struggle. In May, Palestinian-American journalist Shirin Abu Aqile, known as the Voice of Palestine, was reporting on an illegal IOF mass arrest raid on the Jenin refugee camp when she was assassinated by an Israeli regime sniper. The Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court, ICC, classifies the targeting of war correspondents or journalists reporting from war zones or occupied territories by killing or physical assault as a war crime. Although the Zionist regime initially denied that an Israeli regime sniper shot Abu Aqile, it later said there was a high possibility that she was accidentally hit by IDF forces' gunfire. On September 20, Palestinian human rights organization Al-Haq and London-based research group Forensic Architecture issued a report finding that the Zionist regime forces repeatedly and deliberately targeted Abu Aqile with a well-aimed bullet. Her vest that said press was clearly visible to the IOF shooter, as shown by the detailed digital reconstruction from Al Jazeera footage. The same day that Al-Haq and Forensic Architecture released their report, the International Federation of Journalists, the International Center of Justice for Palestinians, and the Palestinian Journalist Syndicate filed a complaint in the ICC on behalf of Abu Aqile family and journalist Aliya Samoudi, who was also shot by IOF forces at the same time as Abu Aqile. Al-Haq is one of the six Palestinian human rights groups that the Zionist regime baselessly designated terrorist organizations and one of the seven raided by the IOF in August. The Zionist regime's assassination of Abu Aqile occurred just days after a coalition of Palestinian journalist organizations and leading human rights lawyers filed an initial complaint in the ICC protesting the systematic targeting of Palestinian journalists. Jennifer Robinson, a lawyer for Abu Aqile family, said the killing of journalists is an attempt to cover up and prevent their work in documenting human rights abuse and fosters impunity for the injustices that they are seeking to cover. The Zionist regime's High Court of Justice effectively legalizes almost every act committed by the Zionist regime's security forces. Ishai Menochin, executive director of the Public Committee Against Torture in Israel, wrote in the book Drones and Targeted Killing, Legal, Moral, and Geopolitical Issues. One can only conclude that Israel's HCJ is one of the primary enablers of the ongoing Israeli occupation of the occupied Palestinian territories. Another enabler of the Zionist regime's illegal occupation is the U.S. government, which provides the Zionist regime with $3.8 billion annually in military assistance. The Biden administration has refused to condemn the Zionist regime for its illegal terrorist designations and raids on the Palestinian human rights groups or its unlawful assassination of Abu Aghla. U.S. President Joe Biden has twice refused to meet with Abu Aghla's family face-to-face. Those who speak out against the Zionist regime's illegal occupation face serious consequences. Progressive journalist Katie Halper was censored and fired by The Hill for defending Representative Rashida Tlaib's description of the Zionist regime as an apartheid regime. Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem have all characterized the system in the Zionist regime as apartheid. The Hill is owned by Nexstar Media Group, which calls itself America's largest local television and media company. Journalists who report the truth about the Zionist regime's crimes incur the risk of being fired or even assassinated. Neither the Zionist regime nor the U.S. government and its corporate media will tolerate any criticism of the illegal Israeli occupation.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your problems, questions you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. A child is like a white paper on which you can write good things or bad things. Entire personality of a child is developed by the parents, by the upbringing they do. And in this program, we try to provide all the necessary information that is required to bring up your child in the best possible way. The answers of your questions are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member of Al Mustafa University and researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, Professor Nakavi, we have been discussing that how parents have to show off their emotions, how they have to show off their love through the emotions or the actions, because communication cannot be only through speaking. speaking can be in many forms, in your words, in your body language, and that needs to be involving emotions and actions. I would want you to give us more examples, like how parents can show off this love to their children.
One of the issues that has to be taken into account is that basically the first faculty which is developed in a child is the listening skill.
Okay.
So a child, even in the womb of the mother, is capable of listening to things.
Yeah.
And the first stage in picking up any language by a child is also through listening.
Yeah.
Then goes on to speaking. Then he can start reading, and then he can start writing maybe at a later stage.
Yeah.
So in child development, listening is very important. And through that listening, his emotions and feelings are also invoked.
Okay.
The words that he listens to, the sounds that she listens to, they evoke many feelings.
Okay.
So that is important, what types of words and what types of sounds are coming to the child.
I was even reading a couple of days ago a study, a new research, wherein it was saying that even the child in womb reacts to what mother eats. Like if a mother eats carrots, a child smiles. Or if a mother eats, say for example, the brinjals, the child makes faces or something. So when a child in the womb can even react to these things, what mother eats, it shows us that a child has been listening and he has been definitely reacting to whatever he's listening, basically.
Yes, so when it comes to communication and talking, the first thing is listening.
Yeah.
He or she listens to words. Therefore, it's very much recommended that a mother recites the Holy Quran during pregnancy. That has a very beautiful effect on the child. So one of the things, as I mentioned, listening and feelings involved as a result. So we need to develop positive feelings, inculcate positive emotions in the child. So things which he or she listens to are very important. The words, even music, even singing, even whatever we are talking about, whatever sounds and voices, he or she picks them up. He or she is very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the child. He or she can understand in one what tone the words are being spoken.
Exactly.
He or she can very much understand if the parent or the mother is angry or is worried or is in a state of stress.
Okay.
So because it's of that listening capacity, that has developed to a very high degree.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be very careful.
All right.
In what we say, what we say, the choice of words. Let me give you something very important, which is very important in the sense that tomorrow when this child is going to develop into a grown-up, he needs to be able to communicate properly.
True.
The use of any language, in any language he or she communicates, he or she should be using the proper words, the proper sentences, grammatically correct, eloquent sentences.
Yeah.
And where does that start? From the womb, from the listening that the child is...
Charity begins at home.
...is exposed to at home.
Yeah.
So if a mother or parents don't know how to speak properly, even their own tongue, how do we expect the child to pick it up?
Yeah. I'll discuss more on that with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Professor Nakavi. We are discussing how parents can educate their child through their emotions, through their actions. Well, Professor Nakavi, there are some parents who, at the age of very, say, 3 or 4, force basically their children, even Muslim parents, to actually pick up, to basically actually memorize Quran. Do you think that's okay?
In my humble opinion, no, that's not a good strategy at all. Basically, what has been very much impressed upon, emphasized in the various ahadith which we have, it is something common that we say that the Holy Prophet of Islam has very explicitly said that in the first 7 years of the child's life, there shouldn't be any formal education.
All right.
That's my understanding. When it's said that the child is a king in the first 7 years, he's a servant in the second 7 years, and the third, he becomes an advisor, a vizier. My understanding is for the first 7 years, there has to be no direct education.
No direct formal education.
Formal education is out of bounds. Yes, there has to be learning, but it should be completely informal.
Okay.
Putting the child into a classroom environment and making him learn.
Putting pressure on him, basically.
Pressure to do it, it's completely incorrect.
Yeah. I was just
It should be done, if you want him or her to pick up the Quran, provide him an environment where he or she is listening to the Quran, and
because
he or she will
stop. Basically, first
he will listen. And remember. How do you? I mean, you see that many of our children, they pick up songs, they pick up a lot of
any other music
when they hear songs, music,
the pop, the classic,
whatever type of music, this listening is so effective that they pick up, memorize those things.
Yeah.
In a natural way. It should be done in a very natural way. If I want my child to pick up the Quran with a when we teach children ourselves or even employ some teachers to teach them, many of the teachers even don't have the proper accent to teach them Arabic.
Exactly.
But if you, for example, a child is exposed to continuous,
any sort of sound. Audio listening,
videos.
He may
games,
learn very soon.
He himself will pick up the rhymes, the nursery rhymes. How does a child pick up the nursery rhymes?
True. We'll discuss more on that after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
Ya Muqiy al-Khayrat, Ya Muqiy al-Khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "He who has a child must treat him in a childish manner."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Professor Nakavi. We're discussing how parents can educate their children through their emotions and actions, which are extremely important as a communication, as a part of communication, as we say, speaking. The speaking is an important skill in the same way. Showing that love through your emotions and actions is actually equally important. Well, Professor Nakavi, you were saying that a child should not be forced. Let me tell our audiences that I was just talking to a psychologist yesterday who said that we had a case. And there was a guy who was elder, who was like in his 20s, and his parents came and they were upset with him because they said that he would go out at night, take out a car, and only move around the roads. He won't listen to music. He won't be picking up anyone. He won't be going anywhere. But he would just be roaming around on the roads. And then when they verify the case, what has actually happened, the psychologists come to the point, go back to his childhood, and then they realize that the child was forced to memorize Quran at the age of 4. And since that, he was given a very formal and tough education at a very, very early age. He missed a lot of things, and now this missing thing he was finding in the roads, and which even he could not find in the later age. So you also recommend our parents that not to do that.
Exactly. The problem, you know, what is the problem out there? The problem out there is that our parents are very much concerned that they, especially our expats who are living in the West.
Don't you think many of them want to do it for the show-off?
Show-off is important. That is what I'm coming to. That's what I'm saying. They are very much concerned with their identity as being Muslims.
Okay.
And they think that being a Muslim, a good Muslim, is being able to recite the Quran properly. Yes, it is a part of it, but it's not all of it. That's a compartmentalization of religion into very some specific things, as I've been saying from the beginning.
Okay.
Islam is not just reciting the Quran and offering prayers properly. That's one part of our being good human.
That's important, but that's a part of
it. But that has become the identity of, that is what the identity which we want to identify ourselves and our children. We say, oh, let our child finish off the Quran at that age, and we have a Bismillah at the beginning, and at the end we have a program.
And the society will be praising us.
If he's able to recite the Quran off by heart, everyone will be praising, and look how good a Muslim parent I am. That is the problem.
So basically, you're doing that for yourself. You have to be very much concerned that whatever you're teaching to your child, that should be for the child himself, not for your own praises and other things that, or not for any kind of show off. Thank you so much, Professor Naqavi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio or our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. Until another session, fi amanallah. God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. Takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type, and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to afloat. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. A celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jianggong Mountains, because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. Though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals
are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returning panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, five with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape. But the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, welcome to Let's Recite the Qur'an Kareem, a series of Qur'anic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools Network. I'm very glad to tell you that we have again here our brothers from Xavier International School, Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and also Fawad Haider Naghawi. So, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam.
Are you fine, Hussein?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Fawad Haider, how about you?
Salam, I'm fine, sir.
Okay,
how are you?
That's great, that's great. Thank you. And Hassan Nasrullah.
Salam alaikum.
Everything
fine.
All right?
Yes.
You're welcome, thank you. And Ali Nasir, are you great?
Alhamdulillah,
well?
Sir.
Well, okay, alhamdulillah. Great. He says alhamdulillah always, and that's the best thing. Alhamdulillah. So, I hope you're fine as well, inshallah. Thank you so much for joining us. Please stay with us, inshallah, till the end of this session. Again, today, inshallah, we will be having another Quranic session, working on Tajweed rules and also having a short explanation about one ayah or two ayat or verses of the Holy Quran. So today, inshallah, we will be talking about one of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, actually the next verse, verse 36 of Surah Al-Baqarah, inshallah. So in the previous sessions, we worked on the previous verses or ayat. And today, Fawad Haider, it will be ayat 36, okay? That we will be, inshallah, practicing.
Yes.
So let's, like usual, let's listen to this ayah first.
وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ.
So, mashallah, nice recitation. Alhamdulillah, we listened to it. Now, I will read once. You repeat after me. Listen and repeat. Brothers and sisters, make sure you read with us, okay? Practice. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
فأزلهما الشيطان عنها فأخرجهما مما كانا فيه.
فأزلهما الشيطان عنها فأخرجهما مما كانا فيه.
وقلنا اهبطوا بعضكم لبعض عدو.
وقلنا اهبطوا بعضكم لبعض عدو.
ولكم في الأرض مستقر ومتاع إلى حين.
ولكم في الأرض مستقر ومتاع إلى حين.
أحسنتم. فأزلهما الشيطان عنها. Prophet Adam عليه السلام, actually, there is one narration that says, Imam Sadiq عليه السلام says, I think, yeah, that when Adam عليه السلام, okay, and Eve were in that heaven, not the promised heaven, so he was not a prophet at that time. He was not assigned as prophet, okay? So after that, after Allah Almighty taught him how to deal with the commands of Allah Almighty on earth, okay? Yes, that in-person class he had. So he was appointed as prophet, okay? But before, like, look at the Satan, okay? Shaitan, Iblis, okay? Misleads them, okay? Misleads them, misguides them, or kind of, what do we say? Deceives them. So a prophet gets never deceived or tempted by evil, okay? That's a prophet. So at that time, he was not a prophet, okay? Actually. And that was not a real command of Allah Almighty for, like, if Adam didn't listen to Allah Almighty, okay? Like, he didn't. So Adam must be punished for that. Like, he has to be sent to hell, okay? No, that was not that type of commands, okay? We have two types of commands. Like, Allah Almighty commands us to guide us. Allah Almighty commands us, like, to show us, like, this is your responsibility. You have to do this, okay? And you don't have to do that one. Like, we have taklif in Arabic, we call it, okay? So, now, فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ. When Adam alayhi salam and Eve entered that heaven, okay? Actually, we say that garden, okay? And or heaven. So, they were allowed to eat everything except
That tree.
They didn't have to get closer to that tree. That from narrations, we understand that tree was the... Actually, in Arabic, shajara, we don't only say to a tree, okay? We can say to a bush as well. Bush, you know bush?
Yeah.
Hide behind the bushes. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
So, now shajara is called that bush as well. So, from narrations, as I studied in Tafasir book, okay? It was the wheat bush. You know wheat?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. In Persian we call it gandum. Okay?
Yes.
So, that was it. And Allah Almighty told them not to get closer to this. While we eat it here, yes? Wheat, yes, is nothing, no problem with that. We eat it. So, it was just a command. And let's see that what does Adam do, okay? There. So then Adam alayhi salam, Allah forgive them, okay? Inshallah, in the next ayah will state that Allah forgive them. They repented and Allah forgive them. So فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ, the Satan caused them to stumble from it, and فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ, and they were sent off from the heaven. Whatever it is, heaven. Heaven is a place we have to stay forever. Why Allah sent them off of the heaven? So it means that was not the heaven, the real heaven. That when you enter, udkhuluha bisalamin aminin, stay there, okay? Healthy, wealthy, okay? With full security, no problem. Stay there forever. Khalidina fiha. You'll stay there forever. So if it is, it was heaven, so why they didn't stay there forever? Why did they come out of the heaven? So that was not a heaven, okay? That was just a garden, kind of like heaven, okay? But it was not the real heaven. فَأَخْرَجُهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. Allah Almighty sent them off and said, you are like being enemies to one another, like you're like when we do not listen actually to Allah Almighty's command, so we are just doing something bad to ourselves. We are harming ourselves.
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Now the tajweed rules. Make sure you refer to Tafasir book for more information, okay? So فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانَ فَأَزَلْ, make sure it's not ذَال, okay? فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانَ. Ma, we have Hamza, Alif Maddi, Hussein Ruhullah. Why did I do this? فَأَزَلَّهُمْ مَشْ شَيْطَان, short vowel. It was
because
a long vowel.
We idghamed with sheen.
Oh, yeah, you merged it with sheen?
Yes.
Why do you have to merge it with sheen?
Because it has a tashdeed, we will skip Hamzatul Wasl.
Ah, because of Hamzatul Wasl we did.
Yes.
It's Hamzatul Wasl there. And also, after Hamzatul Wasl, we have Lam, Lam al-Ta'rif. And after Lam al-Ta'rif, we have sun letter. So this sun letter says that, hey, make sure you skip that Hamzatul Wasl. And also that Lam, directly join that mean to me. Okay, nothing else. فَأَزَلَّهُمْ, and also skip that long vowel, okay? Short vowel. فَأَزَلَّهُمْ مَشْشَيْطَانُ مَشْشَيْطَانُ, that's great. Done?
Yes.
Okay, I just secretly said this, okay? So, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ. Do not say, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ. That's wrong. فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ. شَيْطَانُ. Say this name beautifully. Actually, we don't have to do, okay? But it's the verse of the Quran, that's why, okay? We don't like this shaytan, okay? Yeah, Fawad says, Shaytanu. Yeah? Fa'azallahuma shaytanu anha. Anha, nun sakin plus ha? Nun sakin plus ha?
Izhar.
Through letters, yes? Izhar, yes. Right. Anha. Make sure you don't have to apply any other rule. Just go. Anha. Read it the way you want. Anha. Do not say anha. No. Anha, quickly. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا أَخْرَجَ, heavy letter. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا, not أَخْرَجَهُمَا, رَجَهُمَا مِمَّا إِدْغَامُ الْمِثْلَيْنِ كَانَا فِيهِ. Make sure some students, okay, do not pay attention to that alif. For example, فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ. Don't do this way, okay? فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا, alif it has, okay? Like long vowel we have. مِمَّا كَانَا, long vowel. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ. Not this way, okay? I had a student reading this way, really. Really, for sure, okay? But you don't have to do Hassan, okay?
Okay.
فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا read it, Fawad. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا, let's see, was it he or no? I think it was him. Yeah, my student. Go on. Make sure you don't make the same mistake. 1, 2, 3.
فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ.
Look, it was him. I found him. I found him. Okay. Let's see who else. Hussein, read it.
فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ.
Oh, good, good. He didn't do that. Hassan?
فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ.
Ah, it was him as well. كَانَ فِيهِ. كَانَ is, it means one person. كَانَ means two. That alif means two, okay? Double. Okay. Pair. Okay. You gotta do that. If you say كَانَ, it means only Adam alayhi salam. كَانَ means his wife as well. Okay? Make sure, okay?
What Adam is the difference, kana, kana?
Kana means he was. The word kana means he was, one person was. Kana means two people were. That's the difference. We don't have an English like was, waza. No, we have another word, were, for that, okay? But in Arabic, we have the same word with just a pronoun. So, kana. So,
if you pronounce the sound longer, it will mean two people.
No, actually, it has an alif. Look, the real word has an alif. So it's not just this word. Like we have other words as well. For example, ذهبَ ذهبَ, two people. That alif is a pronoun. Okay? Alif is a pronoun. So, thank you. وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ. Nabr, rule adu. This sound is called nabr, okay? And وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرُّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَحٍ. All the idgham, ikhfa, idhar rules we have applied, they are so much easy. Please apply them, okay, inshallah, practice them. So, that's all for today. Make sure you refer to Tafasir book again, I'm saying this. And also, make sure you practice. So, do you have any questions?
No.
Say bye-bye to our friends. Bye-bye, inshallah,
bye,
see you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, stay with us.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, yeah. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.